Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus. We welcome you all here, especially the visitors that are here with us. May God bless you as you worship with us here. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. I've been reading through the Gospels in my personal devotions, been reading and studying in there, and there's passage of scripture here in Luke chapter 14 that really challenged me, and I trust that I can share that challenge with you this morning, that the Spirit of God could speak to you like he spoke to me as I studied this passage of scripture. Beginning of this chapter, we have the Jesus talking. Well, first of all, he heals the man that had the dropsy, or the issue that was presented to him, and Jesus says, you know, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they didn't answer him. They wouldn't say. And so he heals the man, and he says to them, now which one of you has an animal that would fall into a ditch on the Sabbath day and you wouldn't go and help it out? And from that time, it says no one could answer him about that. So he then starts talking about humility and how that when you're invited to a feast, and in those days you were sat by your position in society, and people would go in and they would take the highest, what they called the highest seat, because they felt like they were the ones that deserved it. And Jesus says, don't do that. You go in and take the lowest seat, so that if the householder or the one that invited you feels like you are more worthy than that, you are called up rather than told to move down to make room for somebody that has more clout than you do. And he was saying that we need to live our lives in humility rather than thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. He talks about the parable of the great supper then, the those that were invited to the wedding, and how they made excuses that they couldn't come, and the man told his servants, you go out and you invite in those from the highways and the hedges, and he says, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we could go into a long discourse and discussion as to what all that means, but what I want to look at is from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, and I'm going to take the time to read those verses at this time. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, that's with Jesus, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, my Bible, it's a heading for this passage of Scripture, says, Counting the Cost. And for want of a better title, I'm going to use that. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I think Jesus is letting us know that there is a cost involved to following him. And in verse 35, the last phrase in that verse says, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And as I read through this and thought about it and studied some parallel scriptures in my devotional time, that phrase kept coming back to me over and over. If you have ears, and everyone here this morning has ears, I don't see anybody standing up here signing, and I couldn't do it. So that means that everyone here is able to hear. So he says here, if you have ears, then hear what I'm saying. In other words, don't just pass it off. Don't just listen to what I'm saying and then go and walk away and forget it all. But that thought of let him hear means let him understand, let him accept, let him comprehend what I'm saying. And as I looked at this passage of Scripture and what Jesus was teaching here, it really impressed on me the fact that Jesus and our commitment to Jesus Christ and our commitment to the Christian life and to the obedience of God's word needs to take priority over everything else. There is nothing that can come ahead of that commitment. Now he says here in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, and he goes on to list a lot of relation there, and his own life. Now we use that word hate in a different way than what is used here in the King James. And I understand that the King James is an older version. Words have changed meaning. They're used differently than what they're used in the King James. And that is why it's important to, as you read your Bible, you study it. And you look up some of these words and meanings and see what they have to say. And that word hate, it means to detest or to love less. Not necessarily to hate as in wanting to get somebody out of your life or wishing they were dead or you know whatever all else hatred can mean in our vernacular today. But it means to love less. And I think as we look at this and we realize that Jesus Christ is asking us to love less our father, mother, wife, children, brother, and sisters, yea, and our own life, we need to love them less than we love him. And as I looked at that and I looked at my own life, I began to realize that in the day-to-day life that we live, we have a tendency to love a lot of things. We have our minds set, we have our hearts set on many different things. And I, being one of the we that I'm talking about. But Jesus says here, you need to love that less than you love me. And I was impressed with that second song that we sang, and I don't know, it was somewhat of a new song. I remember singing it a time or two, but was somewhat of a new song, and the third verse really, really caught my attention as we sang it. Cure thy children's warring madness. Bend our pride to thy control. Now that's painful enough to begin with. But then he goes on, the writer goes on and says, shame our wanton, selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. And that just struck me. I was sharing a book with Brother Sherwin, and I almost asked him to let me have the book after we were done singing because I wanted to look at that again. And I realized when he took it, he didn't close it right away. He sat there and looked at it for a while too. And I'm not sure what you were looking at, but there's a number of things in that song that really, that, I mean, it's number 360. Sometimes just read over those words and see what the writer says there. It's a very practical, some very practical things in that song. And it just made an impression on me that the writer would say that we're rich in things and poor in soul. Brothers and sisters, that's where we get to if we do not love less these things than Jesus. Jesus needs to be our supreme love. Now, brothers and sisters who are married, I trust this morning that the love relationship that you have is strong. And you would do pretty much anything for your spouse. You would protect them. You would do anything. You would grant their wishes or, you know, whatever. But you know, your love for Jesus needs to supersede that. And that's hard to comprehend, hard to fathom, hard to explain. But the time may come in all of these things that you are going to have to make the decision. I trust not between you and your partner because you're both Christians. I pray that this never happens, but the time may come when you will have to choose between these things that you love and Jesus Christ. What are you going to love more? Who are you going to love more? We talked this morning, we heard about people that have lost everything. And that's due to war and storms. But you know, our forefathers lost everything because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. They were driven from their homes. They left their families, split up and hid. And they gave their life because they would not deny Jesus Christ. And that puts me to shame because I have to wonder sometimes what trivial thing I was not willing to give up and I denied Christ. My own pleasures, my own lusts, my own thinking, my own desires, my own pride, all those things. Have I loved them more than Christ? Have I loved my own life, my own prestige, my own standing in society more than Jesus Christ? He says there in verse 27, that whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And we look at that and we think about the cross that the Roman Empire used to execute criminals, and we think about that, and that's what our mind goes to right away, and that is a meaning that can be had in that verse, and I believe it's very real. But in my studies, in my reading, I discovered that the people of that day actually used that analogy to indicate a surrender or a commitment to something. I don't know how many of you ever heard the phrase or maybe even used the phrase in time gone by, but you know, there's one phrase that was used when I was a child in school. I heard it a lot. I went to public school for the first 5 years of my schooling, and it was cross my heart. That was the phrase that they used to make sure that you understand that they're telling the truth or that they'll do what they're saying. But this was a phrase that the people of Christ's day used to seal a commitment to something or a vow that they would do something is they're going to take up their cross and do it. And that harkened back again to the Roman government laying the cross on a condemned criminal, and that criminal had no choice but to bear that cross and to follow that Roman soldier to the place of execution. If he didn't, he was executed on the spot. Brothers and sisters, Jesus says, if you're not willing to take up your cross, if you're not willing to make that commitment and follow me, you can't be my disciple. It says here in verse 25 that great multitudes went with him. There was a lot of people following him. But he says, listen, you can follow me. You can walk after me. You can follow me in the highways and the byways of this Canaan land. But unless you're willing to give up everything and love me more, you can't be my disciple. He says here in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And that verse really, really struck home to me. Would I be willing to walk away from everything that I have? Would I be willing to just lay that down and walk away from it for the sake of Jesus Christ? It's a question that we all need to answer. It's a question that is very real. Jesus is asking us that today. Are you willing to forsake everything? Everything that you think is rightfully yours, are you willing to lay that down for me? And I had to sit and think about that for a while. Because there's a lot of things in my life that I hold very dear. But Jesus says you need to love them less than you love me. There's a number of verses I was going to read, and I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to mention them. In John chapter 6, Jesus has that long discourse with the people that were around him about him being the bread of life and how they need to partake of him, eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to be a part of him. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can know this? Who can understand this? Who can do this? And it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That was the ones that were following him. And he turns to his 12, what we call the apostles. He turns to them. And he says, will you also go back? Will you also leave me? And Peter makes that declaration. He says, where can we go? You have the words of life. Brothers and sisters, this morning, That needs to be our central focus. Is that there's no other place to go but Jesus Christ. There's no other place to absorb the words of life than from Jesus Christ. And we can turn anywhere else we want to, but it's not going to be there. It's only in Jesus Christ. And if we realize that, yeah, we might have to give up a lot of things, but Jesus has the words of life, then we would be like Peter, willing to just stay right with him, no matter what it costs. Now, Peter had his failures too. There was time when he denied Christ. There was time when he followed afar off. But there's no other place to turn. And we look at that, and we think about this passage of Scripture and what all it's requiring us to give up. The Christian life is requiring us to give up everything, to be willing to lay everything down for the sake of Jesus Christ. And that sounds tough. But I'm reminded of the words of Paul when he says he is convinced that the sufferings of this world are not to be compared with the glory that is to come. Brothers and sisters, Peter says we've forsaken all for you. And Jesus says there's not one that is going to forsake houses, lands, and he has the whole list, but that he's not going to receive many times more. If we live for Christ now, we're going to receive a blessing that far outweighs anything that we've ever given up here today. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.